And there is a 3-4 Sligo. Mihol turns to take it. Standing back now. Here's his kick. And he sends it over the bar, nearly down to Ben Bulbin, over the bar, and Sligo lead again.
1975 was a very interesting and good year for Sligo football, Austin. At that time, Sligo were competing at a high level nationally. The Connacht final of 1971, the replay, Connacht final and replay against Galway, Sligo narrowly lost that. Then in 1973, Sligo qualified for the National League semi-final and lost narrowly to Offaly in Croke Park. The following year, 1974, Sligo again were in the National League semi-final, played Roscommon in Croke Park. That ended in a draw. The replay was in Castlebar, and Sligo were narrowly defeated. So Sligo were competing at a very high level in those years in the lead-up to 1975. In 75 itself, the league form early on wasn't great, but Sligo did win the Gael Lynn Cup, which was a tournament involving the Connacht counties, and Sligo beat Mayo in the final in Ballina. So our hopes were reasonably high and optimistic going into the championship, bearing in mind that it was Galway. Now, Sligo hadn't beaten Galway in the championship for 28 years, so it was quite a task ahead of the Sligo team. Remembering also that Galway had been in the 1974 All-Ireland final, and only for the fact that Paddy Cullen saved a penalty, Galway might have won that final, but as we all know, that was Kevin Heffernan's first All-Ireland as manager of the Dublin team and started the great Dublin era that was to follow. So that was the backdrop to 1975, with Galway coming to Markovics Park. Home venue was always important. So Sligo had prepared well and were ready for Galway, and there was a huge crowd there.
Going into that championship year, Sligo's most famous footballer was Micheál Cairns. Now in the twilight of his inter-county career, he had been player-manager the year before, but opted to stand down from that dual role.
Well, I knew I was slipping myself as a player, and that you couldn't, if you weren't calling the shots or doing the stuff yourself. What right had you to be giving off to somebody else if he wasn't doing his stuff? I was like 31, and I knew I wasn't as good, or I wasn't as mobile or as fit as I used to be, or as maybe as fit as I should be either.
For 75, Sligo had another player manager, Barnes Murphy, who had just enjoyed a special year on a personal level, winning a 1974 All-Star Award.
From the 70s on, Sligo were in a good place playing football. And I know Mickey Cairns always said that the 71 team that drew with Galway and they beat us in a replay up in Castlebar, that was the best Sligo team. But we didn't win. So, and then you had 71, 72, 73 we were in the league semi-final, 74 we were in the league semi-final. And we had four games against Roscommon, and I ended up at the time, anyone could have got that play that year. Everyone played really well. I ended up getting an All-Star out of it, which was great for a fella come home from Clonkeelon or Stoke or near the Ox Mountains that people didn't think ever played football. And we went to at the function in Dublin. It was great meeting Dublin fellas and Kerry fellas and Galway fellas. And then in about April, we went to San Francisco and Los Angeles. And
on the All-Stars trip.
The All-Stars trip. And the Lord rested me, only died a few weeks ago. I met Willie Joyce at in Shannon.
The former Galway footballer.
That's right. Played midfield. And Willie and myself kind of didn't like each other too well. And we kind of grunted at each other. We ended up in San Francisco, staying in the one house, in the one room. One in the one bed now, but we're in the one room. And I'll tell you, I never enjoyed it more. Such fun. And the mother himself and Johnny Hughes, Tom Yacht and John Tobin. And all the All-Stars lads. including the Dublin fellas, who were really, really good. Sean Daly died a few weeks ago. Anton O'Toole, another great footballer, Tony Hanna, all lovely fellas. From that All-Star trip, Austin, I just learned so much. First and foremost, I found out that I'm as good as any of those fellas here playing. Because you think you're inferior to them. And got on really well there. And listening to Willie Joyce, they were playing Sligo in the first round of the championship, and Willie used to say to me, look at, you'll play well, look at, you'll play well for 50 minutes, but we'll beat you in the last 10 anyways. Beat you in the last 10. So I come back with that attitude, that there's no way that Galway are going to beat us in the last 10. From that on until we played Galway, I kept telling the lads, look at, Galway aren't going to beat us.
So you used what Willie Joyce said as fuel for your players in 75?
Absolutely, 100%. Just kept at it because thinking back, Austin, all the games that I watched Sligo playing against before I played and afterwards, they did beat us in the last 10 minutes. We just didn't hold out for the last 10 minutes. And that's where, I suppose, cuteness maybe, or fitness, or when you're ahead, you're afraid you're going to win. But that day against Galway and Sligo, I think we beat them by about 10 points, so we did. We beat them easily.
You were Sligo captain in 1975. You were Sligo player manager in 1975. You had multiple roles. How did that work?
Oh, sure, there's no bother to it, wasn't there? I didn't think too much about it. I suppose I just kind of took it on and drove it on from there. I was only a captain now, I'd say, for hardly 12 months, because with different incidents that happened in Croke Park later on, I'll tell you about it. I had told Dunne and one person that was really, James McTiernan did a lot of the training for me, Sligo Rovers man, Jimmy. And Brian McNiff from Donegal. I got Brian up here, and Brian was a helping hand and a studying hand, and he had won an Ulster final with Donegal, and he played, you know, Mickey Cairns would have classed Brian McNiff as one of the great right halfbacks in the country at the time, and he was a great help to us.
The surprise was that Sligo won that game, in my memory, quite easily, on the score of 113 to Galway's 6 points. Now, that was a surprise because we had expected a stronger challenge from Galway. They were managed by Enda Colloran, one of the great heroes of the three-in-a-row Galway team in the mid-60s. So to see Sligo beat them comprehensively by 113 to 6 points was a great boost to the GAA in Sligo. The decisive score that day, as I remember it, was Desi Cairns' goal, the only goal of the game. And it set Sligo up well to go into a Connacht final.
So while there was reasonable expectation about Sligo that year, the manner of that semi-final win over Galway perhaps gave fans greater cause for optimism.
It certainly did. The fact that we had beaten Galway for the first time in 28 years in the championship, and that we were facing into a Connacht final, which we hoped would be in Markovics Park, and there's a story there as well, because the Connacht Council were having reservations about whether Markovics Park would have the capacity to host the huge crowd that was expected. So after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and representations by Sligo County Board, it was finally agreed that the Connacht final would be played in Markovics Park on the 6th of July. And hopes were very high that Sligo could do very well.
And another huge crowd came to Markovics Park for that final, Tom. What are your memories of that drawn game?
It was one of the classic championship Sundays, a hot, sunny Sunday. A huge crowd in Markovics Park. Lots of flags, black and white and green and red. And the scene was set. It was a magnificent occasion. Capacity crowd. And the game certainly lived up to what the fans were expecting. It was a close encounter. At times, Sligo looked to be in control. And then at other times, Mayo got on top. And there was one classic moment, really, in the second half where Mayo got through and hit the crossbar, the underside of the crossbar. Happily, the ball rebounded to a Sligo defender and it was cleared. And eventually, Sligo and Mayo drew on the scoreline of Sligo 2-10, Mayo 1-13.
It was a great boost to us to beat Galway in the park, because all the times Galway, it was just a case of turning up, you know.
And what was the atmosphere around the county like at the time? You were into a Connacht final playing Mayo. Do you remember much about the build-up?
Well, we worked hard at it after that. Like our training, and I suppose kept trying to get fellas that it was hard to train, like maybe Tommy Cummins mentioning one, Matty Hoey and a few more. But we had very talented footballers, because I know that I got work for Francie Henry, the Lord rest, some great friend of mine, with Brian McNiff. And Brian brought him to training up on Donegal at different, he was working down around Holyrood, and Brian brought him to training. And he told me afterwards that there had no footballer in Donegal as talented as Francie Henry. He was so, so talented. Absolutely brilliant. Matty Hoy was a great footballer. Mick Laffey. We had two great midfielders, Johnny Simpson and Tom Cleary, ploughed through the house there, so he would, that type of footballer. And you want, like Paul Duncan, you want them in the middle of the field, you know.
Reading back through the newspaper articles about that 1975 final, which went to a replay, the drawn game was at Markovich Park. Sligo had only won one Connacht title previously in 1928. Some of the surviving 28 team members were at the game, like Luke Colleran and others. Was there expectation? Do you remember expectation being on your shoulders that day?
I'd say we were pretty sure we were going to win it, but we actually almost lost it, because I remember at the very end of the game we might have been a pint or two up, but Tommy O'Malley got a ball and came in on a solo run, and for the one time I left JP Kane and went to Tommy O'Malley, put it over my head into JP, and JP nearly broke our crossbar, so he did. And it came out about 30 yards out. And we were disappointed there. But with us being disappointed, the team, the crowd had given up at that stage. The spectators thought, well, you got your chance. You had it there. You had it won. And now it's gone. And going to Castlebar, we were never going to win it.
The fact that we had beaten Galway for the first time in 28 years in the championship, and that we were facing into a Connacht final, which we hoped would be in Markovich Park, and there's a story there as well, because the Connacht Council were having reservations about whether Markovich Park would have the capacity to host the huge crowd that was expected. So after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and representations by Sligo County Board, it was finally agreed that the Connacht final would be played in Markovich Park on the 6th of July. And the hopes were very high that Sligo could do very well.
And another huge crowd came to Markovich Park for that final, Tom. What are your memories of that drawn game?
It was one of the classic championship Sundays, a hot, sunny Sunday. A huge crowd in Markovich Park. Lots of flags, black and white and green and red. And the scene was set. It was a magnificent occasion. Capacity crowd, and the game certainly lived up to what the fans were expecting. It was a close encounter. At times Sligo looked to be in control, and then at other times Mayo got on top. And there was one classic moment really in the second half where Mayo got through and hit the crossbar, the underside of the crossbar. Happily, the ball rebounded to a Sligo defender and it was cleared. And eventually Sligo and Mayo drew on the scoreline of Sligo 2-10, Mayo 1-13.
Sligo had been in front in that game, Tom. Was there a sense leaving the ground that day that they had missed their opportunity?
To a certain extent, Austin, I think there was, because it was a great opportunity, and it looked as if it had passed us by, as on so many occasions previously. But you have to remember that this was an excellent Sligo team with very experienced players, a good mix of youth and experience, and two special leaders in player-manager Barnes Murphy and scorer-in-chief Micheál Cairns.
We had very talented footballers, because I know that I got to work for Francie Henry, the Lord bless him, a great friend of mine, with Brian McNiff. And Brian brought him to training up in Donegal. He was working down around Holyrood. And Brian brought him to training. And he told me afterwards that there had no footballer in Donegal as talented as Francie Henry. He was so, so talented. Absolutely brilliant. Matty Hoy was a great footballer. Mick Laffey. We had two great midfielders, Johnny Simpson and Tom Cleary. Ploughed through the house there, so he would, that type of footballer. And you want, like Paul Duncan, you want them in the middle of the field, you know.
So everyone thought you'd missed your chance in Markovic Park in the drawn game. Was that the general sense? Was it the sense in the dressing room afterwards?
Oh, no, it wasn't. No. We in the dressing room, we drove it on from there, and I know I did, and other fellas took it on, all the other players, so they had to, like Matty Brannan and Paddy Henry and John Brannan and Robert Lipson, they were never beaten, you know. That's true as God. As backs, they were never beaten. They were always playing and playing. And they went to Castlebar with 100% sure that we were going to meet Mayo and Castlebar that in the replay.
Well, take me to that Sunday. So, the 20th of July, 1975.
Beautiful sunny conditions at Castlebar. 25,000 crowd or so. Settling down, which the teams haven't done as yet, but we can't blame them for that. Tom Cummins with the kick out for Sligo. About 60 yards out in the Sligo post. Untidy for a moment. Barnes Murphy tidies it all up for Sligo. Gets it just beyond the halfway line. Comes off Mick Higgins' boot. It'll be a line ball. It's TJ Ferrer, in fact. Line ball for Sligo. Matty Brennan coming to take it. Just barely inside the Mayo half. That seems to be backs and forward. It's Mick Kearns with the ball. 30 yards out. Oh, that's a great point from Kearns.
I remember that day very clearly. It was a fine sunny day again, not quite as hot as in Markovic Park. And again, the game was very, very tight. It was a game really that could have gone either way. The decisive scores came in the second half for Sligo, the two goals, one from Desi Cairns and a goal from the penalty by Micheál Cairns.
Nice bit of weaving by Frank Henry. TJ Ferrer seems to have control, and then suddenly Des Cairns has it. Long ball across, Mickey Cairns is in there, so Seamus Riley, and it's going to be a penalty. It's going to be a penalty. It has to be a penalty for Sligo. Mick Curtin's there. Being brought down. And a penalty for Sligo. Dramatic start of the second half. We're not even 2 minutes into it yet. If this is converted, Sligo would be a point ahead. Mick Curtin's to take this penalty against Ivan Heffernan in the Mayo goal. And what a vital kick for Sligo and for Mick Curtin's this is. Gets the signal, and it's a goal. We're just over 2 minutes into the second half, and Sligo have gone ahead. 1-7, that's 10 points. To Mayo's 9, 20 and a half minutes gone in the second half. Mayo still ahead, 13 points to 1-8. A chance for Sligo, it's at Tom Cullerty. Free for Sligo. Too many frees in this game, really, for any great continuity. Looking for Mick Cairns. Cairns blocking it down there into the hands of Des Cairns. A great goal!
There was one incident, Austin, in the second half that we got a free. And before anyone had a chance to get the ball, Tom Cleary grabbed the ball in one big hand and he placed it on the ground. He took two or three steps back. He saw that Cairns was inside on his own with Seamus Riley, and he hoofed the ball about 60 or 70 yards in on top of Kearns, and Kearns broke it down to Desi Kearns. He did actually what I asked him to do about 6 months, a few months before. I asked Mickey to break a few balls, but he didn't take any heed of me. But he broke it down to Desi. And of course, Desi was lethal to get a ball like that. He came striding onto it and put it in the back of the net. That put us a few points ahead. And from that on, we didn't look back, you know.
So the Desi Kearns goal was the moment that changed the game?
Of course it was. Well, Tom Cleary's free that went in so fast. If Tom had waited 10 seconds until my other backs got back, like Desi was out about 40 yards when that ball was kicked and he went racing towards goals. In front of his man, got the break, and back in the net.
And can you recall those final seconds, Barnes? Time almost up, you're ahead by a point, holding on, or maybe you're pushing forward, I don't know. What do you remember of those dying seconds?
No, we were 3 points ahead coming near the end, and Mio got 2 points, so they did. And at the very end, there was time up. I was talking, Tommy Morden was refereeing it at the time. Great referee, lovely fellow, Tommy. I got a ball and I came out with it. Now, I saw Desi Kearns coming out for it, but I was afraid to kick it to Desi. So I kicked it as far as I could and kicked it out over the sideline. Desi wasn't too pleased afterwards, but I was afraid. And I knew the time was practically up because Tommy Morden had told me. So I kicked it about 60 yards or more out over the sideline and they took the line ball. Game was over. Now, if the ball had come back up, maybe they'd have got a point out of it, maybe not. But what I was doing, I wasn't taking any chances. We were under fierce pressure because they had got 2 points, and I suppose certainly they were going to get another one as far as they were concerned.
Takes it now, and the game is over, and Sligo won the Connacht Championship. Sligo have won the Connacht Championship for the first time since 1928, 47 years ago, and only their second ever. And look at those scenes of jubilation.
The YouTube footage of the game shows the camera focusing on Mickey Cairns surrounded by teammates and supporters on the field of play. Mickey's wife Frances speaking on the Maestro documentary about her husband back in the 1990s describes her memory of that final whistle moment.
So at long last, Mick Cairns, I can't see him, he's surrounded by well-wishers on the 50 yards, lying there in the slag in the Mayo half. You can just see his back, surrounded by well-wishers there. Mick Cairns, at long last, gets his Connacht Championship medal.
I remember I watched that game with his father from the press box in Castlebar. And when the game was over, of course, it went down, and I could not get near him. He was absolutely mobbed, like, that day. And I'd say at least it was half hour, three quarters over, and he was still in his togs. He couldn't get to the dressing room. It was like in All-Ireland, you know, he just couldn't get there. But I didn't see him until well after he came out of the dressing rooms. And even then, people were still waiting around, you know, to shake his hand, even though I felt, well, you know, it wasn't his greatest day. You know, I know it was a great day for Connacht, but as I said earlier, he felt he was gone past maybe his sell-by date a bit.
Did 75 come too late for you?
Definitely too late for me, and possibly for two or three more as well. Like, but it definitely was too late for me. And I don't think, even after we won the Connacht Championship in Castlebar, I can't recall having one good training session. No, not I. Anyhow, then I was working like in the south at the time, and I used to try and come back for the training sessions. And by the time you'd get to Sligo, you'd be tired. And I hadn't the same interest in it as I had in other years. Like,
well, at the start of 75, was there any prospect that Sligo could win the Connacht Championship?
I personally didn't think there was, but Murphy had all this fierce belief in what he was doing.
Championship. Talk to me about the trophy presentation, getting your hands on the Nestor Cup.
Yeah, I remember going over talking. I remember getting the Nestor Cup, and Austin, you might believe it, I remember going to Miola Murkerty and talking to him and talking to Jimmy McGee was back in the stay in the in Dublin, in the studio in Dublin, and talking to Willie. And Mickey Kearns came over and they asked Mickey about it. And Mickey said, look, I don't care. If I never play another game, won a quarter final, I don't care. And I said, look, he'll be fine. He'll be out. For the, he'll be in Croke Park. Whether he's able to play or not, he'll be in Croke Park.
And lifting the trophy, like, that was such a moment for you on a personal level.
Oh, of course. It was, right. But I suppose we were all so hyper, Austin. That we were just all so hyper after winning the game that it that kind of went out of your... Something that you cannot really... I cannot actually remember that bit at all.
And the celebrations continued. They were lengthy. The reports in the various history books tell us about a parade from Markovic Park to the town hall, a civic reception on a Saturday evening, and a trip out to West Sligo as well. Is it fair to say, and this was the pre-social media day, the county went a bit mad?
Absolutely. From the game in Sligo, if we had won in Sligo, there was 5 weeks to Croke Park. It went to a replay. So after the replay, there was 2 weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks to Croke Park. The first week, we spent the whole time. Some fellas, the cup was full all the time. Some of the chaps never took their head out of that cup, so they didn't. And the Lord of Mercy, we can blame Joe Masterson for the whole lot. He organised this and that and that. There was no training. I suppose when we got them back training the week before the final, maybe we ran them a little bit too much. But we were in no shape to go to Croke Park. And that was the pity, because we were in great shape after winning a kind of final after a replay. Like you had to be. You beat Galway, you beat Mayo, you played Mayo in 2 games, you were in great shape. And then you lost it all around the county, over to Inniscrone, over to Castleconnor, down to the town hall, civic reception here and there. And I suppose you couldn't blame people. That was our All-Ireland, 47 years. But we could have actually done so much, because we went to Croke Park against Kerry. We were in that game for long periods of the time until someone in Croke Park made a few changes. I had Brian McNiff in Croke Park that day until Tull Dunn. And whatever happened before half-time, they wanted to make changes and they were told to get lost. And they didn't even come into the dressing room at half-time. So the bottom fell out of it. And it fell out of it after half-time for us, because there was a few changes made. And Kerry ended up getting 3 goals after half-time. And it was a pity, because we had a good team. We had a great team, so we had. And great footballers. All footballers, so we had. And we just left it behind us.
You were playing this special Kerry side managed by Mick O'Dwyer, who were about to take the Gaelic Games world by storm and will go on to win effectively 8 All-Irelands over the course of the next decade and a half. But is it a source of regret for you and your Sligo players of that year that you didn't give a better account of yourselves in that semi-final?
Of course it is. We could have been, maybe we could have been beaten by 4 or 5 points or whatever, because halfway through the second half, the score was 11 points to 5 or 6. So there wasn't much in it at that stage. And after that, then the changes were made. And it was just a pity, because it put us back a lot, so it did. And I know in the next year when we went out, I know we beat Galway in the first round of the league in 76, up on top of Corrie. But we never regained what we had in Castlebar that day, or in Sligo.
Well, right now the ball has been thrown in at Croke Park, and today we've invited the former Meath All-Ireland star and referee Peter McDermott to join us in commentary with our commentator on the All-Ireland semi-final, Kerry against Sligo. 20 seconds gone, no score, Liam Campbell.
Just about 25 seconds.
Well, John Clifford, we're looking at the Sligo team photograph from the All-Ireland semi-final 1975. And in front of the team captain, Barnes Murphy, in the front row, knelt down on his hunkers is a young Sligo footballer with an up Sligo white jersey top, and that's you. What age are you in that photo?
I'm 8 years of age, just turned eight. Yeah, I was eight. I would have been eight in the June of 1975, yeah. So my abiding memory is, I think the teacher came out of Dublin from an uncle of mine, Vincent, that was living in Dublin at the time. So he produced it for the Connacht finals. So I would have been at the two Connacht finals. And then obviously being the young, innocent young fellow, I was thrown in as the mascot in 75 for Croke Park. Good memories of Croke Park on the day, being around the team. I remember the guys in Croke Park banging the door down, trying to get the team out onto the field, I suppose, for time protocols and all that. I was out on the field for the warm-up with the team, and then I watched the match in the dugout. I think I might have been sitting on Christy Murphy's lap at that day. But very friendly with a lot of those players still, and I would meet them quite regularly. Unfortunately, a couple of them have gone to their eternal reward, the great Johnny Stenson and Frank Henry, Dennis Connolly, but would meet a lot of those other players on a regular basis and would still have good friendships with the Kilcoyne family, Luke Kilcoyne's family and Pádraig Lang's family, who were selectors with my father at that time.
And for an eight-year-old, was Croke Park the mystical place back in 1975 that we might perceive it to be?
I would probably be more excited today if I was walking on Croke Park than I was back then, but innocently enough, it obviously was a great stadium. It was the next step up. I have good memories and bad memories. I have the scoreline etched in my brain of 3-13 to 5 points, which was a big disappointment, I suppose, on the day. But it's still, I can quote that any day. And the 1-15 of the team on any given day or night, I'd always round them off 1-15, just as a matter of fact, you know.
Had you a favourite player on the Sligo team?
Not really. I don't think I had. No, I wasn't really that close to them at the time of being innocent enough, you know. But they were all very good footballers. Would have played with Mick Laffey, obviously, in my early stages of playing with St Mary's, and Mick's at the latter end of his career, would have played with Mick for a good few years. So Mick was a fantastic footballer, you know, great ball player and majestic on the ball.
Your dad, Paddy, was deeply involved with the Sligo senior team in 75. The Clifford family lived in Sligo town at the time.
Yeah, we lived in Wolfetone Street, number 9 Wolfetone Street. There were 9 children, so it was a small house with 11 people living under roof. And back in the day, Paddy obviously was chairman of the county board from 1973 to 79. So as a result, he was a selector on the county team with Pádraig Lang and Luke Kilcoyne. And I remember Barnes and the three other men coming. The team was picked in our kitchen in Wolfetone Street. So on many occasions, Barnes would arrive in off duty or on duty for his tea break.
And in his Garda uniform.
In his Garda uniform, yeah. And Pádraig would have come in from Colooney, and Luke would have come in from Tubbercurry back in the day, and they'd pick the team. And I'm sure they were there till the early hours of the morning making their decisions, but I was well gone to bed at that stage. But they are the memories that I do have of being around back then.
Were you taken to the Connacht final in Markovich Park for part one and Castlebar for part two?
Yeah, I do remember both finals, yeah. I think I was with my uncle Vincent actually in Markovich Park. And one scary memory I have is back then there was no crowd control and the place was packed. And when the final whistle would go, there would be just thousands of people heading for the one exit on the Pearse Road. So I remember that very well. And I do remember I remember being at the match in Castlebar, a big family day out for our family. I wouldn't have remembered too much about the actual match itself other than seeing clips with the great Jim Campbell commentating on for years. Showing some of the clips, but no, I was at all those matches, yeah.
And do you remember the buzz around the place at the time? Like, was it a big, big deal for Sligo to win this Connacht title?
It obviously was, yeah. I remember coming back because I can't remember who was driving my father's car back from Castlebar, and I was probably up as late as ever was, and there was bonfires in Charlestown, bonfires everywhere. I remember the team getting on a lorry at Markovich Park and doing a parade of the town back to the town hall. I can remember that. So they were, you know, just great times. Just like any team that would win a Connacht final now, that wouldn't have won one for a long time or an All-Ireland for a long time in the celebrations. Everybody wants to feel part of it.
You didn't keep your up Sligo jersey from 75, did you?
No, I don't know where that's gone now. I'd say it's gone somewhere, but it's not to be found anyway. It's not in any attic that I'm aware of anyway.
You still keep in touch with a lot of your 75 teammates to this day?
I do, is right. We had a few different functions that we had there. We met in Tubbercurry a few times. We met here in the Sligo Park Hotel. And hopefully before the year is out, we have, I kind of have them all on whatever, WhatsApp there, and it's very easy to get in touch with most of them. You won't get them all, Austin, but you get a lot of them. They're a great bunch of fellas, like, and we're always good friends, and even though we played club football against each other afterwards and here and there, but from that on, it kind of bonded that team together, which is good, and you'd be great friends with a lot of them.
When we look at the record books, it's still just 3 Connacht senior football titles for Sligo, so you're part of a very select band of Sligo footballer.
First and foremost, it started with the 68 minor team also. We mustn't forget that we had a great 68 minor team, and a lot of them lads came into the team in 70-71 from there on, like John Brannan and Robert Lipset, Desi Kearns. It was a great time for Sligo football through the early 70s. We kind of lost it, Austin, after that, after 75, so we did. And maybe we thought, oh, we've won a Connacht final. Of course, Mickey Kearns was... I had to go out to Mickey Kearns a few times to get him to play in 75 even. And he played that year.
Now, was he thinking about hanging up the boots?
I was. He had struggled along for years, so he had. And he played that year. We wouldn't have won any Connacht final. You know, he was an awful important part of it. And he was, no more than you take Clifford today and you take all the good footballers, you always had 2 or 3 watching him, so you had, no matter where he went, you know.
There were lots of marquee names on that Sligo team. Cairns, Murphy, Matty Hoey, Mick Laffey, John Brennan, etc. But even though it was a different era, this was very much a panel for the 75 success. You were mindful of that.
Oh, it was, is right, yeah. And there was a load of... Benny Wilkinson was on that team, and you had Pádraig Colpin from Meesky, and you had Robert Connolly, and you had Peter Rooney, and Christy Murphy, my brother, was on that panel, and you had...
You have a list there of some of the subs, and maybe they're the names that we don't think about as regularly connected to this 1975 team.
It's true, and it's just important that, Austin, just for one second, it's important that... Yeah, John Murphy, Tubber Curry, you had Aidan Caffrey in a score. Aidan was injured, that's why he didn't play that day. Desi Cunyan, Dennis Connolly, Carrick McCross, Dennis is RIP now. Peter Welch, Mullabreen, Donald Brannan, Curry, Pádraig Colpin, I mentioned him, Christie, Robert Connolly, and Peter Rooney, Mullabreen. Like, they were all lads that came in, that trained as hard as we did, but that time you only could put in 3 subs. And more than, and a lot of the time, Sligo only put in maybe 1 sub. The only one I remember coming in as a sub was Benny Wilkinson.
When you look back on it now, 50 years on, Barnes, does it seem a different lifetime ago, or do you say to yourself, where have the years gone?
Austin, it's like if it never happened so long ago. Absolutely. It's like when you meet all the fellas and you talk about it, like when you meet the Mayo lads, like I'd be... Hopefully, when we have our next do, I'd have Tommy O'Malley is going to come down to it, and Willie McGee and Sean Gilbride and some of the Mayo fellas down to Tubber Curry, and I'm going to have to, Brian McMiff wants to be there, and I want him there, so I do. And, you know, we're not going to talk about 75, we're just going to talk to each other. And so a lot of us don't remember a lot of the things that happened afterwards. All I remember... what went on after winning the Connacht final. And I suppose if I was strong enough, I'd have stopped it. But everyone just took off. And it was a pity that it wasn't left until we played in Croke Park and came home then and had our celebrations after that, Austin.
Do you still have your Connacht Championship winner's medal?
Oh, I have. Mary has it. It's thrown someplace in some drawer. I haven't seen it, I'd say, for 20 years maybe. Well, I haven't seen it since we moved house anyways, or since we built a new house, I haven't seen it. But I'd say it's in some drawer, Austin, yeah.
It's nice to have there somewhere anyway.
Oh, it's in the house, yeah, 100%. Along with 1 or 2 medals. I've more Connacht medals too. I've an All-Ireland 7-a-side medal, so I have. I have 2 or 3 Connacht medals with St. Mary's. I have 2 Connacht medals with St. Nathie's, so I have gone back a juvenile playing with the famous Dermot Early and Sean Gilbride and Mel Flanagan, Anthony Joyce, great Mayo Miners. And we have a junior Connacht middle with St. Nathie's. Beat Charlotte's after replay, which was great. And that's about it, Austin.
It's not a bad return.
Well, from a fella that came from near the Ox Mountains and that nobody ever knew that played football, and we didn't do too bad.
A lot of the team still keep in touch today, but some have passed on.
Well, sadly, three members of that panel have passed on, and we remember with great pride and affection Johnny Stinson, Francis Henry and Dennis Connolly. And they made a major contribution to that great success in 1975. And we think of their families at this particular time. I'm also glad to say that there's a great bond between the members of that panel. You see many of them still in Markovic's Park. And I know they're in touch constantly with each other. And there is a special bond there because their achievement was of the highest quality.
You were Sligo secretary when the county won the 1975 Connacht Senior Football title. Your dad, Tom Senior, was county administrator when Sligo won their very first Connacht title in 1928. And the centenary of that breakthrough success is coming soon.
It's hard to believe that in 3 years' time it will be 100 years since that 1928 Connacht Championship success. My father, Tom Kilcoyne, was county secretary at that particular time, and his brother Mick Kilcoyne was a member of the team. So the fact that I was county secretary in 1975, he had passed away in 1968, but it meant a lot to me that I was carrying on that tradition. And I'm also happy to say that I was still county secretary when Sligo won the Connacht Championship in 2007. That was my final year as county secretary. So we have a family connection, Austin, with 1928, 1975 and 2007.